Welcome to the Leader to Leader podcast from Chime, where we bring you the top innovators in digital health leadership with your host, the president and CEO of Chime, Russ Branzell.
Hello and welcome to the Leader to Leader podcast, a Chime Foundation series where we bring you the best of the best in digital health leadership. I'm Russ Branzell, your host for this podcast and the president and CEO of Chime, the College of Healthcare Information Management Executives. As we continue to live and evolve through challenging times for healthcare professionals, our industry partners, and the people we all serve, leaders across the industry have proven their talent and determination as they innovate and transform their organizations to meet the moment and shape the future. We're proud to know those leaders and support them here at Chime. Today, we welcome an outstanding industry executive who is passionate about privacy and security in the healthcare domain. He's a valuable member of our board of trustees. He's an expert in managed security and risk strategy, an all-around respected leader in our industry, and just a pretty darn nice guy. He's the chief executive officer of First Health Advisory, a very close personal friend of mine and the Chime family. Welcome to the program, Carter Groom. Welcome.
Thank you, Russ. Always a pleasure. And thank you for hosting me, Chime. Your continued commitment and taking lead on bringing awareness to topics that the digital health community wants to hear. If you're listening to this podcast now, thank you for taking the time out of your day to spend it with Russ and I. I hope you're cool out there in the middle of this heat wave.
Well, Carter, it's obvious that cybersecurity has gone from the little let's make sure a few passwords are reset to it is foremost in the fear factor as well as the proactive nature in health systems around the country. I'm on board of one of the health systems and their technology board. And we spend about half of our time talking, if not most of the time, talking about cybersecurity and concerns there. You know, you all specialize in cybersecurity. You do a few other things, odds and ends here and there, but you really focus on cybersecurity in our industry. How do you see things going? How's the team at First Health Advisory? Many of my dear friends work with you. You know, how are you all doing right now at this point of heightened cybersecurity awareness and concerns?
Well, Russ, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It is a heightened concern at this moment. We could take an hour just talking about, you know, the health systems that are under attack today, much less the ones that we know about last week and last month and last year. And I can tell you, you know, these breaches that we're seeing, the potential to be catastrophic with regards to patient privacy and identity, is just one piece of it. And I'm not one, Russ, to stir up fear and uncertainty and doubt. We call it FUD in the industry. But I can add that the breaches and specifically the ransomware that we're seeing today have the potential not only to expose sensitive information, but they're rendering hospitals and entire health systems inoperable. And that's putting patient safety, public health, and even national security in harm's way, much less the reputational and balance sheet damages that, you know, this ransomware is doing to the organizations that are getting hit every day. And so, you know, Chime is doing a great job of bringing an awareness to this issue. And you know, really our chief digital, chief information officer, chief security officer are doing a great job of sharing and bringing this problem to the forefront of the discussions that we're having. And Russ, to your question about the company, we're busy. We're really busy. And there's a lot of demand from organizations that just don't have the expertise in workforce to address all those challenges that we're facing. And I'd say there's a lot of questioning going on right now from those that actually are in the business of providing care. The question around what is our core business function? What's our core focus? And should that ultimately be on partnering with a firm like ours? And there's several out there that are doing great work to keep those organizations resilient in this really high stakes race to protect our patients and assets. And I can tell you, Russ, that, you know, we get stressed too. We get weary in this battle. And we question if help is on the way, just like those organizations that are on the front lines. And I'm in Washington here talking to you today. And we do a lot of advocating for our sector. We talk to policymakers, lawmakers, and we try to help them understand the current landscape. And I can say, and as many do in this town, we're making progress, but there's a lot more work to be done. And so I'm grateful that Chime can amplify those messages, and those that are becoming aware of this threat are starting to do things about it. And that is encouraging.
So let's dive a little deeper into this. And because one of the words I hear you use a lot is resilience. It was interesting. So I was reading some stuff this morning about this, more about our personal lives than it was cyber. But I think it applies very much that resilience refers to bouncing back after enduring a crisis or dealing with crisis, where persistence refers to the ability of steadfastly pursuing our objectives despite opposition and delays. And it seems like both of those describe the worlds that we're living in cybersecurity, and that we have to be persistent, meaning every single day you can't let your guard down. They're fighting against us every single day. And I don't think there's any doubt that almost everybody's going to have something bad happen to them from a cyber. So therefore, they got to have resilience. What are you seeing in your customers right now as they really are trying to fight a good battle?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, and resilience is the most appropriate term, for preparing your organization for something bad to happen. We call it a bad day, and minimizing the business impact when something happens, right? That's the way I think of resilience. And so for leadership, leadership in these organizations to understand the business impact of the threats that the whole sector is facing, is probably something that I've seen start to change, right? Because a lot of chief digital officers and chief information officers and CISOs and those around us in the Chime organization, we understand those threats, but does their board understand it? Do the business owners of the organizations they work for and serve understand that that's really the next step in evolution and truly becoming resilient? And I've seen small entities, we talk about the critical access in rural hospitals or as being the have-nots. But I've seen those organizations, some of them, do great things because their board, their leadership, their business owners understand the challenge and they get after it as an enterprise. At the same time, Russ, I've seen massive organizations and names that you see all over the media, and you think they're doing amazing things from a cyber perspective, yet they're a disaster. And it's because their leadership doesn't necessarily, understand that business impact or isn't willing to invest the time, energy, and dollars that need to go into building a resilient cyber program. And really the other thing that I see a lot of organizations, over the last 3 or 4 years doing is, they bought a lot of technology during the pandemic. And I'm not saying there was, an infusion of cash and all of a sudden they said, let's just buy everything we can. But there was a lot of acquisition of platforms and tools. Yet those tools need constant care and attention to work optimally or for their intended use. And shelfware, as we like to affectionately call it, is insecurity in a way becomes even more dangerous for an organization because they have a false sense of security. That tool is protecting me when in fact it's not. And so some are saying we really need to look at what we have, rationalize those tools and make sure we derive value and are able to take action off of the information provided from those tools. So those are just some of the trends that I'm seeing this summer and going into 2024 that I think are going to make organizations more resilient.
Well, let's jump into that crazy loony bin you live in there, and that's Washington, D.C., which seems to be constantly just trying to deal with issue after issue after issue, not happening in just in healthcare, but in society at a macro level. And Obviously, this is one that has gotten a lot of attention, whether it's concerns about foreign actors, whether it's concerns about being held cyber hostage on things. And it just the overall macro level concern has permeated almost all of Washington, where I think you and our great policy steering committee of Chime and our team led by Mari have been fighting a battle on that hill of both education and awareness, but also of trying to get something done. And it just seemed like finally we're starting to see some things happen, that we are seeing some regulatory bars being raised relative to this. First, I'd love to hear your reaction on kind of where we're at, some of the latest news on some stuff moving up with the FDA and others trying to at least get medical device cybersecurity moving in the right direction. We've heard recently the ONC working on some of this as well. But what's missing? What are we missing in Washington? Start with what's good. We are seeing some action happen. Tell us what you think about that. And then also, what is still missing from our government leaders?
You know, and Russ, you could get me all day long talking about this issue. And there's an element of the loony bin here in town. But I can tell you, as I said earlier, you know, progress is being made, as we like to say, but more can be done. And I would be remiss if I don't call out what's happening at CISA, what's happening within HHS, what's happening at the Health Sector Council to bring awareness to these issues, what's happening at ONC and FDA. There is a lot of positive movement for the greater good, I call it. And you mentioned the FDA as one of those. So the omnibus law that came out at the end of last year has given the FDA more authority to, you know, basically press medical device manufacturers to build in cybersecurity into their products, into the plan, to be able to test them, to be able to follow them through a software bill of materials. And, you know, we're going to see that in the next month, that authority, you know, actually getting some teeth behind it, whereby the FDA could say, we are not going to approve that device to be on the market if you don't do these things now. And we've lived in a state for years and years and years up to this time where all of those rules were sort of voluntary. And that just hasn't moved the needle in terms of making our health systems and ultimately our patients more safe. And so that is a definite positive step forward in terms of, you know, the actual actions and abilities the FDA has to enforce better cybersecurity from the point of purchase of these assets in organizations. And, you know, ultimately, I think the big difference is going to be made at the policy level. So we're talking about agency level items, CISA, HHS, ONC, FDA. When Congress actually, you know, says, okay, we know this is a big problem and we're going to come to help you. We're going to provide you incentives to do the right thing. I think that's really where it's going to make a difference. And right now, I'm trying to be optimistic. We're doing everything we can to get Congress's attention there, Russ. And it is a battle, you know, to get the attention of Congress. Chime has done amazing work there. And the organization, the public policy group, is tireless in messaging to those that are in Congress what really needs to be done.
So is there anything specific you think our Chime leaders should be doing in preparation for these FDA and other guidelines that will be coming out?
You know, I'd say the item to think about most, if you're in IT, if you're in security, and even in supply chain, is know what those new authorities are that the FDA has and begin to ask not only your current vendors, but your potential new vendors, if they are compliant with the FDA's new regulatory authorities. And you know, those vendors should be able to immediately provide those organizations, you know, in terms of acquisition, all of what is needed and asked for and you know, what I call the best practices coming from the FDA. And if not, I don't think those, you know, purchasing agents should actually buy those devices. And I know there's always workarounds and stuff, but that is, you know, basically closing the door on exposing your organization to future risk. Now, those FDA authorities are not retroactive, you know, so that's going to, you know, play out in time. But ultimately, if you're looking at the front door and saying, I'm not going to let any more unsecure devices into our organization, that's going to make a huge difference in preparedness as it's related to those FDA authorities.
So let's talk a little bit about those most senior leaders. And this is kind of a duality question for you, Carter, because you are not only a person trying to influence, educate, and work with not just the leaders doing things, but also the boards in these health systems, these health organizations, these ambulatory groups out there. But you're also a board member yourself, so you know what it's like to be sitting in those shoes where you're not the one doing things, but rather the one that can be held responsible for something. So how do you prepare board members? How do you prepare these senior leaders that aren't working in the fray of day-to-day cybersecurity or technology and don't really understand anything other than maybe what they see on the news? How do you help prepare them and really set them up for success and empower them to be able to really tackle such a difficult topic that maybe is almost not being able to be understood by them, at least at a technical level, but maybe from an organizational impact level?
Yeah, this is just so critical to advancing resiliency in the organization and helping those board members, which are often community members, you know, bank leaders or retail leaders in the organization. They need to first understand, you know, what the risk is to the healthcare organization that they are, you know, advising as a board member. And you can't get technical. I think that goes without saying. You can't talk about, you know, vulnerabilities and ransomware and get into the weeds of security and privacy. You need to talk to those individuals about the risk to the business. And we talked about it earlier in this discussion, the business impact. What happens if you get hit by ransomware and your primary investment, the electronic health record, the EHR goes down? What happens? I get asked that question a lot. Well, you know, what if we don't do this program? What if we don't build redundancy into our, you know, into our computer systems? What happens to us? And, you know, I used to have all these, you know, interesting answers, you know, and now I say, well, how long can you go, number one, without making money? Or how long, you know, do you want to go and putting your patients at risk? You know, it's a pretty simple conversation. And they can decide to accept that risk and invest somewhere else, or they can say, you know what, we're going to do something about it, because if we do get hit, we know it's going to cause extreme reputational harm, number one. Number two, we're probably going to get hit immediately with 10, 12, 15 class action lawsuits. And number three, it's going to cost the organization 10, 15, 20x what the decision today would be in investing in our program. And so those are the conversations that have to happen at the board level to understand the risk to the business. That's what I would say.
So, Carter, let's just go into a little bit of a make-believe life here. And let's just say you got a phone call from the president, and the president said, I want you to be my cyber czar. And you get one wish. And you get one wish right out of the way. We have to do it. What would be your one wish for cybersecurity and healthcare if you were our cyber czar?
Oh, my goodness. You're really throwing me off for a loop here. My one wish, I really would like to put some pressure on our lawmakers to provide an opportunity, an incentive for all of our healthcare systems, not just critical access and rural facilities, which is so important. I think they need it the most, but for all of our healthcare systems to build a workforce, to build talent, to build expertise around this issue and incentivize, you know, whether it's K through 12, collegiate trade associations, you know, those coming from the military to go into this field and ultimately do something about the imbalance right now between the adversaries that you mentioned earlier and the ability to protect the organizations that are providing care to our communities. and it is a critical infrastructure sector. And healthcare should be right at the top of that list in terms of doing something about it. That's what I would say.
Well, I'm going to throw one more curveball at you, and this is more personal than professional. And that is, if you really feel the sense of what's happening in healthcare, but maybe even at a macro level of the economy post-COVID, a lot of stress. There's a lot of being thrown out there, terms like burned out and tired. And I'm sure that's true for our cyber professionals as well in our industry. But you seem to have a pretty darn good balance. You seem to keep physically fit, mentally fit, and still work really hard. You know, even just this last weekend, we lost an icon in the world, in Jimmy Buffett. And my favorite song of Jimmy Buffett was "One Particular Harbor." We all have to have a place where we can have refuge, where we can have it. How do you find refuge? Where do you go? What do you do to maintain that unbelievably happy-go-lucky Carter Groom that we all get to see every day?
Well, that certainly is a curveball. And I'd say to all the parrot heads out there, Jimmy, rest in peace. He provided a lot of joy in my lifetime. I do think, you know, leisure and exercise is something that is so essential to those of us in IT and security. We're all working so hard. We're all fried. And you guys, if you saw my picture on the website and then you saw the amount of gray hairs on my head today, you'd wonder where my stress goes. I think that's where it goes. But ultimately, I do my best to prioritize eating nutritiously and getting in some exercise every day. And that helps because it energizes me to come back to the challenges that we're facing, that we're all facing. And so I think, you know, keeping that in mind every day for especially us in the technology sector has got to be top of mind.
Well, Carter, unfortunately, our time for today's podcast has come and gone. And so a special thank you to you for all your service to our industry, to Chime, but most importantly, for taking up the fight for cybersecurity and fighting for all the, as you said, the small rural critical access, but yeah, even the big giant academic centers need help as well. And so we thank you for all you're doing, for your service and your friendship to so many people.
Thank you, Rush. I appreciate it. Thank you, Chime, for everything that you do.
Hey, we'd also like to thank you for listening to this episode of Chime's Leader to Leader podcast. As always, you can visit us at Spotify or on our website at chimecentral.org/media for this and all the podcasts from great healthcare leaders. Continue to innovate, transform, and create positive change to advance and improve health and care throughout the communities you serve. But for now, stay safe and God bless.